On this holy night in which we remember and give thanks for the Holy Family, it's good to paint a picture of another family to help us understand what's going on. So picture a family gathered around a dinner table, the man of the house, his wife, their two boys, the wife's father, and the man of the house's best friend. And they're pausing before eating to offer a word of thanks when the man of the house begins his prayer. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, he continues the prayer before the wife interrupts him and says, hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby, but the husband responds, well, I like Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus, or teenage Jesus, or bearded Jesus, or whoever you want. The wife says, you know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow. He's a race car driver if you don't know where I'm going yet. He starts praying again, dear tiny Jesus, in your golden fleece diapers, with your tiny little fat balled up fists. Her father frustrated interrupts, he was a man, he had a beard. The man says, look, I like the baby version best. Do you hear me? After a minute of tenseness at the dinner table, he finishes up the prayer. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant and so cuddly, but still omnipotent. We just thank you for all the races I've won and that $21.2 million. Woo! Love that money. That I've accrued over the past season, and also due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each grace, I want to say that Powerade is delicious, and it cools you off on a hot summer day, and we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace. Dear baby God, amen. And now, while we may not pray to the dear Lord, baby Jesus, there's a part in us that is especially grateful for baby Jesus, especially on nights like tonight. And while this scene from the movie Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, may be borderline sacrilegious for my first Christmas Eve sermon here at Fayetteville First United Methodist Church, I think it does remind us of this important fact about tonight. It had to be a baby. See, memory can be a funny thing in the way that we remember and recall and tell the stories. Usually with the first of anything, you remember every detail. And for Mary and Joseph, this was certainly a first. And thank goodness it was. Joseph's at work when he gets the phone call. Joseph, Mary is acting really weird. Something's not quite right. You need to get home right now. And what we come to find out in the story is that Mary is sick and Joseph doesn't know why. It's because she's pregnant. She's going through morning sickness and trying to figure out why this all happened. And then the angel came and told her what to name him. And she did not know. But yes, she did really know. And then how would she explain it to Joseph? And then Joseph finds out and he comes and silently takes the news and stews and waits and then leaves and goes for a walk, comes back and leaves again, has a dream, and then he knows what he will do. But then the letter comes in the mail that says they have to return to Bethlehem, where Joseph's lineage is from, the house of David, and they have to pack and do the math, and they'd like to rent a luxury vehicle to take them the journey, but all they can afford is a donkey, in hopes that they could get there in time to get a room, but of course there is no room at the end. And then they get there, and then there's the manger and the animals and the smell and the cold and the weather all pile up, and then the contractions start coming and the waiting's over and the exhaustion and the tears and the crying newborn and the laughter and the naming, and Jesus is there. And they can finally rest. Until the shepherds come in. Oh, the shepherds show up uninvited, smelly, poor, but the angels came to them too, they find out in conversation. Mary and Joseph, did your angels have wings? Our angels had wings too. Did your angels play harps? Our angels played harps. What did they say to you? Fear not. They said the same thing to us. Fear not. Good words on a night like this. And in that moment of sharing, in the chaos and the confusion of that first Christmas Eve, they remember. They pause. They catch their breath. "Fear not, for I bring you good news, that unto you is born this day a Savior. And you shall find the babe wrapped in linen clothes and lying in a manger." It had to be a baby. It must be a sign. After all, we're looking for that sign in our lives, aren't we? That moment when the heavens part and the angels come to us and give us that message, "Do not be afraid." We're all looking for that perfect Christmas until we remember that the first Christmas really wasn't all that perfect. In fact, it did not go probably according to anyone's plan as they would have drawn it up for the Savior of the world. And maybe there's a lesson for us there. Maybe the perfect Christmas is not what we expect. There's no such thing as a set of Christmas tree lights that work successfully year in and year out. There's no such thing as a successful Christmas shopping expedition going according to plan where you find everything you need. There's no such thing as a male family member over the age of 25 who's easy to shop for. And there's probably not one December that goes by where at some point we don't fail asking the question, why are we going through this stress all over again? Why are we doing this? Well, why are we doing this? Well, we know it's supposed to be about the birth of Jesus, but somehow that overwhelming sense of guilt and anxiety is that it comes down to how will we give gifts? How will we receive gifts? Because for many of us, a gift means love. It means thoughtfulness. It means celebration. And we can't bear to think that there are those who will go without gifts because it means that they go without love. And so we try our best to make sure that everyone in this world has a gift to experience that love. Here's one of the things that's problematic with giving presents is that what works for one person may be an insult to another. It's like that book, Five Love Languages. There's probably five love languages of giving and receiving gifts. You know, there's that one person who says, "Don't make a fuss over me. Just give the money to the church or give the money to charity." But if you tried to make that move with someone else, they would say, "You're just trying to avoid giving me a thoughtful and personal gift by making some altruistic move." You see, we're all different, and we bring our differences to gift giving and gift receiving at Christmas time. We all bring our differences to Christmas Eve. Just like we're different in our tastes of presents, we're different in our tastes or our flavors of faith. We all believe, and so we're all here and we're all gathered, but we may be skeptical about how the best way to live out our faith exists. One of us may be full of piety and devotion and really devoted to scriptural prayer every day. And that person may also be weary of religion interfering in politics and economics. But then there are others of us who love the social justice aspect and can never really get their head around those things, those works of piety, the prayer and the study. But there are others who find holiness and inspiration on the things and the traditions of the church, the candle lighting, the prayers, the music. And then there are still others who find meaning and hope at Christmas time and in faith by the joining of the community. And there's probably a hybrid of those that exists out there, but we all bring our own hopes, our own fears with us on Christmas Eve. And maybe that's why in that hymn that's almost a lullaby for a child, "O little town of Bethlehem," we have the words, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." And that's when we see that the Christmas story is written for all of us. No matter how we approach Christmas Eve, no matter how we approach the faith, not just people like me or people like you, but people like us, as varied and different as we are, carrying our doubts, our hopes, our beliefs, our faults, our failures, and our successes. And we bring that with us into this place on this holy night. Because we have chosen to be here, even though the struggle of getting ready and getting everyone dressed seems to be a struggle. We thought it would be easier getting everyone here at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night, maybe even easier than 8:30 or 9:45 or 11 on a Sunday morning, but who are we kidding? But we're here because God is here with us. So it's not just a question that we ask one another leading up to the holidays. Where are y'all planning on being for Christmas this year? It's not just a question or a search for information, but it's a personal question. And the reason it's a personal question is oftentimes Christmas Eve and Christmas involves a lot of sitting around and not doing a whole lot. A bit of cooking, a bit of walking maybe, playing games, a bit of presents, a bit of eating, but a lot of just being together. Things we don't do much the rest of the year, if we're quite honest. The beauty of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is that it's hard to hide behind email or the things that are coming later in the work week. Because most people, some people, will not be going to work the next day. And so when you're going to be sitting around with no excuses, you better make sure the people you're spending Christmas with are people that you can just hang around with. In fact, we might go so far as to say that when we say, I want to spend Christmas with you, it's really saying to someone, I don't see you as work or an obligation or a means to an end. I see you as someone I just want to be with for your own sake. I want to be with you even if we're hanging around not doing much. It's probably the least expensive but most meaningful way to say, I love you. Chances are the people sitting around you this night might be people that you deeply love. They might be strangers. They might be people that you see on occasion. They might be people that you're seeing for the first time, but we are here in this place, recognizing our humanity and our divinity made possible by the Christ child in us and through us. It's the simplicity and humanity of these relationships and of this time together, not our greatest achievements, that characterize who we truly are. It's so simple to do. Being with a person as a means of grace is simply saying, I love you. Because that's the way that God loves us. We are not God's achievement. We are not a project God is constantly tinkering with till he gets right. We are simply the ones with whom God wants to share his life. And we know that because God wants to spend Christmas with us. Because he shaped his whole life simply to be with us. Of course, God wants us to turn to him in faith and reverence, to order our lives as those who are righteous and dressed, to walk in the ways that lead to life eternal. But on this night, because of this baby, we understand that God loves us because he chooses to be with us. And that's why it's good to give thanks to dear Lord baby Jesus. Because it's a reminder that God loves us so much that God would choose us to spend Christmas with, to be like us, to cry like us, to laugh like us, to share with us. God loves us so much that he would choose to spend Christmas with us as a baby. It had to be a baby. So when you gather around your dinner tables tomorrow, and it comes time to say a prayer of thanksgiving, I'm not encouraging you to say, Dear Lord, baby Jesus, as your opener, but maybe Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Friend, Comforter, Nurturer, God with us, Emmanuel. It had to be a baby. It had to be like us to show that God would love us enough that the world Word might be made flesh and dwell among us as one of us. As a baby who grows into a teenager, who grows into a man who would offer salvation to the poor shepherds who visited him that night, to the foreign wise men, to those on the outside looking in, to those on the inside looking out, those inside finding warmth and those outside seeking warmth, to you and to me, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It had to be a baby. It had to be this baby. It could only be this baby. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel, on this holy night and every night henceforth. Amen.